Where possible, would you please kneel with me in prayer? Most righteous Heavenly Father, as we assemble here this evening, I pray that it is with gladness in each of our hearts that we come together as brothers and sisters, united in our love for you. We thank you, Lord, for the love that sent your Son so long ago. We thank you, Lord, for his sacrifice and laying down his life for each and every one of us that we might live. We thank you, Lord, for this gospel restored. We thank you for the scriptures that you have preserved and brought forth once again, that we might know the fullness of the gospel, and in knowing that fullness of the gospel, that we might truly be filled, receive encouragement and direction and correction in our day-to-day lives. Lord, I do pray that your Spirit might be here this night with us, that it might uplift us and comfort us and bring us that love that we all stand in need of. I pray that your Spirit might especially be with my brother, that as he stands before us this evening, that he'll do so in meekness and humbleness, because he knows your greatness, Lord, and he looks up to you in faith believing. We pray, Lord, that your mighty power might be with him to strengthen his heart, to give him courage, and that those words that he delivers this day are words that he hears directly from you. We thank you, Lord, for your direction and your guidance, and pray that each of us might soften our hearts to receive this night. We pray, Lord, for our sick and afflicted, our troubled of heart. We pray that they receive blessings and healings according to your sweet will, and that all receive love and peace and an understanding. We pray, Lord, for the youth of this church, that they might come ever closer to you and know your strength, your love, your tenderness, and know that all those things that you have uttered so long ago will come true. We pray, Lord, that each of us might look to you and keep that hope alive within us, the hope of eternal life, that we might build towards that. Not that we'll hoard everything to ourselves, but that we'll learn to share with others and be blessed for it. Be with us, Lord, this night. Strengthen, guide, and direct this body of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Amen.
Same sweet spirit that I felt oft times before. Surely I can say I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. There's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills this place. I've touched the hem of His garment. I can almost see His face, and my heart is overflowing with the fullness of His joy. I know without a doubt that I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Thank my brother and sister for that special, and it was truly beautiful. And I do believe that the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I pray that each of us, as we listen to our brother this evening, will make a place for His words within our hearts, that we might grow this evening. It's a pleasure to introduce my brother that shall shortly stand before you. I've come to know him pretty close over the last few years. I feel pretty comfortable with him as a house guest. But more than that, I feel comfortable with him as a brother in Christ. And I pray that as I come to know each of you a little bit better, that I'll come to know you the same way. I'd like to introduce to you this evening our brother, Apostle J. Mosier.
Thank you, Mike. I want to apologize first. For coming into the song service late. And the only reason that we came late was because I had to go home and get my assistant for the evening. And he doesn't get home until about 6 anyway. And he hurried and took his shower and had a little bite to eat, and we took off. I really enjoyed today for one reason. You know, this was the first time that I have ever sat in a conference and enjoyed listening to the audit. You know, it sounded just beautiful. It was the best I had ever heard it read. But I want to read a little scripture. I want to try and bring before you tonight, oh, something bad and something good. First the bad. But I'll read this scripture first. In the 122nd Psalm, the first verse, says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want to talk about that tonight as we go on. But first, the bad. We have to talk about the bad in this life. In a world that is changing so rapidly. We're a people that's changing very rapidly. Good and bad, I'm afraid. We change for good and we change for bad at the same time. In Helaman, there is an explanation or a description of a group of people who had a problem in life. As a nation, as a group of people, as a church, they had a problem. And I'm not one, I don't like to talk about problems. So I'm not going to talk about anything specific, so don't assume that I am. But what I'm going to talk about is I want to try and show you what you already know. But I want to show you what things that God looks down upon with displeasure. And I'm sure that you will agree. So that we can be prepared for the days that are coming. In the second chapter of Helaman, beginning with the 43rd verse, there is a description of a point in history for these people, the Nephites. And it starts off with this 43rd verse in the second chapter of Helaman. It says, "And it came to pass, in the 61st year of the reign of the judges, they succeeded in retaining even the half of their possessions, because they had lost all of them, but they gained half of them back." And so we're going to read how they lost so much and why. "Now this great loss of the Nephites and the great slaughter which was among them would not have happened had it not been for their wickedness and their abomination which was among them, yea, and it was among those also which professed to belong to the church of God. And it was because of their pride, of the pride of their hearts, because of their exceeding riches, yea, it was because of their oppression to the poor, withholding their food from the hungry, withholding their clothing from the naked, and smiting their humble brethren upon the cheek." You know, we don't often, I'm sure, think that we're a rich people, but we truly are. You truly are rich in the abundance of the temporal possessions which you own and possess. We're rich. It speaks here about the pride in their hearts. But I want to say something. Our brother Placido, we listened to him one time talk. I listened to him, young brother Placido, as he went to the little town of Maipon. Poor people. Poor people there in Maipon. Some of you now know them. You've been there. We went there this last February for one night. And these humble, poor women came out and brought little gifts to some of our ladies. And of course, all the ladies just bawled and cried. But you know, I listened to young Brother Placido one time. He says, you know, I've heard people say that poor people are humble. He says, but I've been to lots of poor places where the poor people aren't humble. They're not humble. They've got pride in their hearts. So don't have a mistaken impression that just because people are poor, they're humble, or just because they're rich, that they're proud. So let's go on. "Making a mock of that which was sacred, denying the spirit of prophecy." I think we need to be careful always of that. To be very careful that we realize that that is one of the founding things of our church, that we have based so much upon the revealing of God's Word. But here, then it says, murdering, plundering, lying, stealing, committing adultery, rising up in great contentions, and deserting away into the land of Nephi among the Lamanites, leaving the Church of God and going on and becoming part of the world. "Because of this great wickedness and their boastings in their own strength." I don't know if you feel the same way I do. America is boasting in their strength today, I believe, because we went over there and fought a short war with a smaller country, not nearly trained so well and not nearly so well equipped. Not that Saddam was righteous by any means, but that we must be careful lest we boast in our own strength as a nation. I truly love to listen to the Star Spangled Banner as we sang it tonight. I love that song. And I love what it stands for. And I can't help but feel a lump in my throat when I sing it. Because of my belief in the Book of Mormon, I suppose, and what I believe that God has given to you and I. But still, we, to be free of the things which are coming upon the face of the earth, must be careful and not be lifted up in the pride of our own strength. They were left, it says, and their boastings in their own strength, and they were left in their own strength. I don't want to be left in my own strength, because it's nothing. Therefore they did not prosper, but were afflicted and smitten and driven before the Lamanites until they had lost possessions of almost all their lands. But behold, Moronihah did preach many things unto the people because of their iniquity, and also Nephi and Lehi, which were the sons of Helaman, did preach many things unto the people, yea, and did prophesy many things unto them concerning their iniquities, and what should come unto them if they did not repent of their sins. And it came to pass that they did repent, and inasmuch as they did repent, they did begin to prosper. And when Moronihah saw that they did repent, he did venture to lead them forth from place to place and from city to city, even until they had retained the one half of their property and the one half of all their lands. And thus ended the 61st year of the reign of the judges. But let's continue and just read a little bit further. I want to read up to from verse 52 clear down to verse 62. And then I'll get to the second half of my sermon. And it came to pass in the 62nd year of the reign of the judges that Moronihah could obtain no more possessions over the Lamanites. Therefore they did abandon their design to obtain the remainder of their lands, for so numerous were the Lamanites that it became impossible for the Nephites to obtain more power over them. Therefore Moronihah did employ all his armies in maintaining those parts which he had taken. And it came to pass, because of the greatness of the number of the Lamanites, the Nephites were in great fear, lest they should be overpowered, and trodden down, and slain, and destroyed. You know, I have a fear myself. I must admit, as I see the encroachment of the world upon me, I have a fear that unless the Lord puts His hand upon us to strengthen us spiritually, we shall just disappear. I believe He's going to help us. But we could lose our identity. We could lose our way so easily, so quickly, if we began to take up the ways of the world and just disappear. Well, let's see. Verse 55. Yea, they began to remember the prophecies of Alma, and also the words of Mosiah. And they saw that they had been a stiff-necked people, and that they had set at naught the commandments of God. And I just wanted to mention that I, as an American, walking around, sometimes I don't see. It's hard to see the pride that's in my life. Until I go down to Mexico, and then I can see a different culture, and I can see a different kind of people. And then I can see other Americans walking in the streets. And, of course, I don't watch myself walking in the street. You know, and Don and I, when we're together, we're usually walking together. We don't stare at each other and walking along. We're looking at everybody else in the streets. And here's all these people out there in Mexico. And you see people that are mad, and you see people that are upset, and you see people that are happy, and they're smiling, just like you would up here. And then you see an American tourist walking down the street. Probably 9 times out of 10, it just kind of makes me feel a little bit ill. Not that I don't like the people, but because of the look in their eye and the way they walk. There's something about us that's prideful. And it's in our culture. It's so deeply rooted within our culture that we don't really even see it. And so I just mention that. Not that I think you're so filled with all this pride, but to be careful. To always be looking to be a humble people. And that they had altered and trampled under their feet the laws of Mosiah. And of course, those were the laws of the land. We see that today everywhere. Or that which the Lord commanded him to give unto the people. And thus seeing that their laws had become corrupted, and that they had become a wicked people, insomuch that they were wicked even like unto the Lamanites. And because of their iniquity, the church had begun to dwindle. And they began to disbelieve in the spirit of prophecy, and in the spirit of revelation, and in the judgments of God. The judgments of God did stare them in the face. And they saw that they had become weak, like unto their brethren, the Lamanites. That the Spirit of the Lord did no more preserve them. Yea, it had withdrawn from them, because the Spirit of the Lord doth not dwell in unholy temples. Therefore the Lord did cease to preserve them by His miraculous and matchless power, for they had fallen into a state of unbelief and awful wickedness. And they saw that the Lamanites were more exceeding numerous than they, and except they should cleave unto the Lord their God, they must unavoidably perish. For behold, they saw that the strength of the Lamanites was as great as their strength, even man for man. And thus had they fallen into this great transgression, yea, thus had they become weak because of their transgression in the space of not many years. Well, you know, I don't look upon us, and it's so, and I want it to be perfectly impressed upon your mind, that I don't read that to imply that you're wicked and that you are terrible, but only because there are certain elements. As I read it myself, I feel them. I feel these elements myself. Now I want to go to Ether, and I want to read a scripture which I've heard used for all different kinds of ways, and I'm going to try and use it a different way this evening. And I'm going to begin the first chapter of Ether. And reading from the verse 109 through, maybe down to the end of the chapter. I don't have very many scriptures this evening, but the ones I have are a little long, and I'd like you to concentrate with me for just a moment. Verse 109 says, "Come unto me, O ye Gentiles, and I will show unto you the greater things, the knowledge which is hid up because of unbelief. Come unto me, O ye house of Israel, and it shall be made manifest unto you how great things the Father hath laid up for you from the foundation of the world, and hath not come unto you because of unbelief. Behold, when ye shall rend that veil of unbelief, which doth cause you to remain in your awful state of wickedness and hardness of heart and blindness of mind, then shall the great and marvelous things which have been hid up from the foundation of the world from you, yea, when ye shall call upon the Father in my name with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, then shall ye know that the Father hath remembered the covenant which he hath made unto your fathers, O house of Israel." And here is this prophecy to the house of Israel. But as I read here in this first verse that I read, the Gentiles are included in this, I believe. But I want to go back to verse 111. There is one place in history that I know of that speaks of a rent veil, of a veil that has been rent. And I want to read it. About this rent veil. I'm sure that, I hope anyway, that you know right where it is. About this rent veil. It's in the four Gospels. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 50. Verse 50 and verse 51. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And I remember last night that beautiful sermon we heard about Jesus Christ. How he loved us. The sacrifice which he gave. I know he loved me because of what he gave to me. I know he loved me because he has given me his best. The best that he had. I remember with our brother, he talked about how Jesus Christ knew what would happen to him. He knew he was going to be spit upon and he was going to be ridiculed. And he was going to be killed, but he went out anyway. He went anyway. A measure of love. When I go down to Mexico, their culture is partly responsible for this. But when you go to Mexico, and those of you who've been, you know this is true. You go to their home, and if you spend the night, you get their bed. You get their room. They give you the best they have. I know they love me. They've given me the best they have. Kind of makes you uncomfortable at first until you realize you must take it. You must receive it with joy. Because they've given you the best that they have. Their place in their house. Their place at the table. Their food. So I know they love me because they give me their best. And here this veil was rent by Jesus Christ. I believe this veil, which you read about here in the Book of Mormon, that the veil of problems and doubts and fears can only be rent through Jesus Christ. It can only be torn and destroyed when we believe in Him. When we believe so much that we're willing to do what He told us to do. When we're willing to look at the simple commandments which He has spoken to us in places like the Sermon on the Mount and go through there and do them. I believe with all my heart that a person who lives the commandments that are written within those simple commandments, which are quoted in two different places, as you know, upon the Sermon on the Mount, that that person, it is well with them if they can live those commandments. Because they believe. It's well with them. And they can truly exclaim, this is the Son of God. I believe that is a promise that is given to us. If I read on here in the Book of Mormon, let's see. Verse 113, and then shall my revelations, which I have caused to be written by my servant John, be unfolded in the eyes of all the people. Remember, when you see these things, you shall know that the time is at hand, that they shall be made manifest in very deed. Therefore, when ye shall receive this record, ye may know that the work of the Father has commenced upon all the face of the land. Well, we have received it, haven't we? And God is working upon all the face of the land. Therefore, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and believe in my gospel, and be baptized in my name. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day, for he shall be lifted up to dwell in the kingdom prepared for him from the foundation of the world. And behold, it is I that have spoken it. Amen. Blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day. Not speaking, of course, of the last days, but the last day. Will it be the last day of your life? Well, now to get down to what I want to talk about. In 3 Nephi, a commandment of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you, I'm going to read the words of Christ. I'm going to ask you if you believe these things. And I know you do. In the 8th chapter of 3 Nephi, if you believe so much that you're willing to do them, to keep these commandments that God has given to us. In the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 47, oh, let's see. 47 is good enough. We begin with 47 through verse 49. Jesus is speaking to his ministry. Specifically, he was speaking to his ministry. And this is what he said to them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. As I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church. Among my people, which do repent and are baptized in my name, behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. Now let me stop right there. And this is meant as encouragement and admonition at the same time to the ministry to start with. As human beings, we have all kinds of problems. I know all about them because I've got all kinds of problems. I'm a human being. We read these things that Jesus taught to his disciples and to his people, especially on the Sermon on the Mount. Most of them deal with your reaction to other people, your thoughts about them or with them or your words. They deal with you and other people. They deal with your emotions. I've got lots of emotions. Lots of them. And so here we find that the Lord says, I've set an example for you what you are to do. This is what you do, ministry. Among my people, one of the things, one of the many things, but this thing, do among my people. Do as I have done. I set this example for you. Pray. And as we look back and see how he prayed about their sins and their lives and their needs. And he was troubled, it says. When he prayed, as he set the example, he was troubled about the sins of the house of Israel. Well, sometimes we get discouraged. Ministry and all kinds of people get discouraged. I know people that have moved to independence, to come to the center place, to really. Now, when you think about these things, we believe in a gathering. And here he's speaking about people being together in his church, being together among each other. And we have people who have moved here. And how sad it is, people who move and then grow discouraged. So I'm going to talk to those people. Oftentimes I hear people talking about the kind of people that, well, you know, you said something to this person. You shouldn't have said that. Well, maybe that's true. There are ministry who have come to independence, and I hope that maybe there's some here. Maybe there aren't. But for some reason or other, because of something, they absence themselves from the congregations of the Lord. And so to me, they're breaking the commandment of Jesus Christ. Breaking a commandment to come and to meet with God's children, to be among them, to pray for them in their midst. Following the example of Christ. And the only way to rend that veil is by following Him. So let's go on a little bit more. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude. Now he's speaking to everybody. And saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. Now I am convinced that always literally means always. It means every moment of your day. You cannot be lifting up your audible voice always in prayer, and sometimes you've got to work and concentrate on your jobs and concentrate on what you're doing. But there is an attitude, a feeling of prayer that you are always extended towards God. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore you must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And I ask you to ask yourselves, when you absent yourselves from the congregations of the Lord, after a while, unless you're incredible, unless you're someone that I've never met before, after a while your family begins to deteriorate. Just a little at a time. And you don't always pray maybe as often as you once did. Verse 53, And behold, ye shall meet together oft. And ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. How is it we want to do missionary work, and it's right here? It's amazing. Aren't there people that occasionally drop in and then they come back once in a while? This is what it's talking about. It says if they continue to come back, you pray for them. Maybe even audibly, you pray for people that come and visit. And if you're praying for them, you're always conscious of them. You're thinking about them. But he said, meet together oft. You know, Don and I had experience this year when, you know, when we go down to Mexico, they have these little guys down there. They wear uniforms and caps, and they have whistles and big guns, and they all look like Manuel Noriega or Saddam. And Don is forever agitating these people. He drives into town, and they just, he does it time after time again. Gets them upset. And this year was no exception. We drove out of Mexico and we drove through Tampico on the east coast of Mexico. And we got to our critical turn there in Tampico where you go make a left-hand turn at 90-degree angle and go off out of the city. And sure enough, Don agitated this fellow. And we pulled up in the left-hand turn lane, and there were two big dump trucks in front of us, and they took off and went through the turn. And then we got halfway out there, and the lights turned red. And here come traffic from the other side, and here's two of these fellows standing over here. And one of them got his whistle in his mouth. I think he did, but he was waving his arm and pointing and saying, right over here, you know, come right over here. So we sighed and said, well, they got us. Most of the time, they get us because they just want us. This time, they had us. We actually, we had done it. We did something wrong. Well, we waited for him at the side of the road on the right-hand side, and he walked around behind the truck, and it took him a while to get there, you know. And then he came up to my side, and I rolled the window down, And the guy said, you know, we had 24 people killed in that intersection right there. And I thought maybe it might be 26 now. After we were... And And he went to this explanation, and he says, you know, there's a red light and a yellow light and there's a green light and an arrow, he says. And he says, you can't go. You have to go when that arrow is there. And Don said, you know, well, I couldn't do anything about it at the time. I was stuck in that lane, and I was already there, and the guy and the gringo was not listening. He just wasn't comprehending what was going on. And the guy says, hay un luz rojo, hay un luz amber y verde, un flecha, y no puede pasar. Solamente con hay un flecha. You know, over and over and over. And he continued to agitate this man. So, well, I thought I'd help out. And we read this book, you know, about getting along in Mexico. And the guy in this book, he says, well, if you're ever accosted, you know, he said in this book, he said, these things are rare. He says, they very seldom ever happen. He said, they happened years ago and they're so far apart. And since I've been going on for 4 years, 3 out of the 4 years we've been accosted by the policeman at some place in time. You know, so I'm thinking, this guy does not know what he's talking about. But anyway, he says, just take his badge number and the date and the time and what he said to you and how much you had to pay him to get out of there. And so I said to the man, I says, what's your name? And where's your number? And, you know, I'm sure that when the man walked behind the camper, the vehicle, and he just paused just for a minute. It took him a while to get there. I don't know what he was talking to somebody or something. But when he came around, he had no number and no nameplate. And he walked up there, and I just kept looking. I was looking out. I couldn't see anything. So I asked him what it was, and what he told me was, he says, well, when I write you the ticket, you'll get my number. Okay. So I let Don handle it from there. So he kept telling us we were going to have to spend the night there, and Don's going to have to give him his license. You're going to spend the night here, and you're going to have to see the judge in the morning and pay a $30 fine. And so being accustomed to this and knowing how to take care of these men once he's agitated them, Don says, well, you know, we have an appointment. We have to be in the United States at a certain time, and we can't really spend an extra day in here. And Don says, what can we do? And the guy says, well, he kept talking about this $30 thing. He says, well, you know, if you wanted to pay $5 or $10, I suppose we could let you go. And Don gave him $10, and we got down the road. I says, Don, you're still not listening. He said, $5 or $10, and he gave him $10. So, at any rate, but that is, it's the way we are, you know. Don made an infraction. That's what the guy said. He said, Señor, hizo una infracción, over and over. And so when somebody makes an infraction against them, so I'm here tonight, I feel this burden. If you're one of these people and you have these emotions raging inside you, you know, when someone steps on your toes or says something or doesn't agree with you, well, I'm calling out to you to ask you to do this. Will you give to me what Jesus gave to me? Give me your best. You think I offended you? I am bold enough to ask you, even though I may have offended you, you give me your best. You want to show your love? Give me your best. Jesus did. They spat upon him. He didn't run off someplace to hide. He went somewhere alone occasionally to pray, to ask for strength. But he came off the mountain
back to the city, back to where the people were. To do it all again. Because that's where the work of the Father is. You can't do it with pride stuck in your heart, at home alone, sulking because of something that someone said to you, not following Jesus Christ. Go give your best. Come back to this little church. Come back and give your best. Help us to make it to the end, because that's where we're going. It's not far away. We're going to the end. And we need all the help we can get. We're short on people. We don't need people necessarily to take positions. We need somebody to work. We need somebody to labor. We need somebody who gets up in the morning when they don't want to get up in the morning, when they're tired. We need somebody who will pray when they don't want to pray. They just don't feel led to pray. I wonder if Jesus always felt wonderful when He prayed. When He prayed for His followers. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think He always did. I think things were asked of Him when He wanted to go away and to hide and to get away from that wicked and perverse people. And He called them that at times, didn't He? So, oh, you generation of, I don't know how it goes, several times He called them all kinds of terrible things. And He said, how long shall I suffer you in your unbelief? But He suffered all the way to the end. And that's our job, to suffer with Christ all the way to the end. You heard Joel, if you were here Sunday, you heard Joel tell this beautiful story about one of our sisters. And when Gordon McCann came down to see us in Mexico, that was the first thing he told us, that Sister Kathy had been killed in an automobile accident. And my heart just sunk. My first thought was for her youngest son. Her youngest son, Eric, has come to our house to stay with us for a couple of years during the Bible school or the vacation church school we have. Come to see the same age as my son, Aaron, to come and play with Aaron and be with the young boys and go to Bible school. And I couldn't just help but just cry out of my soul, what's going to happen to Eric? Knowing somewhat of his situation, I was encouraged by what Joel told me, that her boys are coming to church, and I certainly hope they continue to do so. But here was this lovely woman. You could see the in her life, the suffering in her life. It was easy to see. She was quite slender, a very slender woman. But after 3 or 4 or 5 years of this trial, she was just plain skinny. Just wore her out, trying to make a living for her family. But I used to love to go up there and talk to her and her other friend, Kathy. Just used to love it because they just love the gospel. They wanted to hear it. They wanted to hear and to talk about it and ask questions. They loved it. And what a beautiful legacy. Joel told us gave us a nice little memorial on her behalf about her following Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you another story from Placido's father, Placido. He told us about his uncle. He said he had an uncle. I don't know where he lived. Maybe Wild Cave. I don't remember where it was. But he had this uncle. And Placido would go to his house and invite him, come to church. Come and worship God. Come serve Him. And He just had too many things to do. He'd say, well, you know, tomorrow or something. And he just put it off and he put it off and he put it off. And he kept visiting him off and on. He'd go by and see him and say hello to his uncle. And one day he went down there and his uncle was old. And he couldn't see. And he couldn't walk. And he could hardly speak. Placido went to see him to comfort him. And he told Placido then, he says, well, you know, I'm ready to serve the Lord now. And Placido, being the honest kind of guy he is, he said, Uncle, how are you going to serve him now? What are you going to do? What are you going to do to serve God? You can't walk to visit someone who's sick. You can't go to church. You can't sing anymore. You can't pray. What will you do? Sounds kind of harsh. Well, I don't think he was necessarily judging him. It was a pretty good question. What are you going to do to serve God? What are you going to do in your life to serve Him? Now, I know what Kathy did. And we thought of her often in Phoenix. We thought of Kathy and remembered her and her needs up there in Sholo. We thought of them and grieved over them. But she always tried. She did whatever she could do. But this poor uncle, you know, that's a good question. What do you do if you no longer have the ability to do it? Time's running out. The thing to do is to do something with your life. Give something of yourself when you still have something to give. But let's read on. It says here, verse 54, I'll go back and read that again. But you shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Specific instructions on doing missionary work that everyone can do. Therefore, hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light, which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. Behold, ye have seen that I have prayed unto the Father, and ye have all witnessed. And ye see that I have commanded that none of you should go away, but rather have commanded that ye should come unto me, that ye might feel and see. Even so shall ye do unto the world. And whosoever breaketh this commandment suffereth himself to be led into temptation. And so here we have this commandment. And if we don't do it, we can be led into temptation. He says, do this unto the world. And what I believe he's telling him is quite simple. He's telling him, even though, you know, all, and to us today, we can look at it, even though the world does not believe and they're hard-hearted, we still say, we still tell them the gospel. We still tell them to repent. And when we get them in our midst, we tell them, come unto Jesus Christ, that you can feel and see. And that's the commandment that God has given to us. Well, I'm going to read this scripture again. I believe with all my heart in going to church and lifting up my prayers. Oftentimes I feel like maybe we can be preoccupied with what you want. Sometimes with what you want. You want God to do something for you. I really enjoy examining and comparing the differences between Mexico and the United States. Down there, they believe, they have the audacity to believe that singing is serving God. And praying. Isn't that what it said here? Pray. To hold up your light. Pray. A song is a prayer. What a wonderful thing that they can believe. They don't need the complicated things of life for the most part. And they can show me that truly it is service to God to sing, to lift up our voice. Holding up our light by showing the world or those that come in our midst that yes, we believe in a God and our Father in heaven. And we worship Him in the name of Christ, His Son. And we shall try as best we can to be true to that until the day we die. Again in Psalms. Chapter 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope you're glad at the thought of going to the house of the Lord. It's not a drudgery. Well, I'm going to miss. You know what's going on right now? Some of you may not like it, but you know, I like basketball. There's a national championship. Maybe that's where these people are that aren't in these chairs here. I don't know. Watching the national championship. I'd like to see it. But I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. For my last scripture reading, I'd like to go to the 27th chapter of Psalms. Read a scripture that I heard young Brother Placido preach there in Phoenix, Arizona. And I just thought I would quote it. It says in the 27th chapter of Psalms, the 4th verse, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And you know, and this is kind of hard for people to believe, but when He talked about that subject, that's exactly what He meant. He wanted to be every day of his life in the house of the Lord. And we have people in Mexico, not all of them, but we have people in Mexico, and they go to the house of the Lord every day of their life. And they want to. They want to. I leave that with you. May God strengthen us to the end. That we can be part of this great plan that God has. I believe we can do it if we want to.
If you'll turn in your hymnals to song number 136, 136. O Master, let me walk with Thee. Number 136. Would you please stand?
Yeah.
Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we thank you for the message that we have received this evening. A message of hope. A message of correction. A message of our responsibilities and duties and joy in serving you. I pray, Lord, that each of us, having received this word, will give our best to you and give our best to each other and view each other even as Christ views us, knowing that there is a soul worth saving, worth dying for. We thank you, Lord, for the words of life that we have received, the words of hope. And know, Lord, within our hearts that it is as simple as a commandment that Christ gave us. Follow thou me. Lord, I pray that you'll go with each one of us as we part. And even as Christ told a people so long ago to go home and ponder and think over these words and come again, I pray that we each pray over and think over and wonder over. And as we assemble here on the morrow, I pray that as brothers and sisters united in a love for our Christ, we come together. Lord, I pray a blessing upon this group of saints. I pray that we remain humble and true to you. Seek to serve you and not the world. Go with us as we part, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.